that Fleetwood Mac started the same year. It's 30 years. Congratulations to you, and many, many more to come.
All right, we'll take that. We will take that. Ladies and gentlemen, please say hello to my friend and one of the founding fathers of WNEW-FM, Jonathan Schwartz.
That piece of music continues to be my theme. That's Carly Simon singing.
I don't know if people know that generally. Mm-hmm. At the time that you were using it at the station, you and Carly knew each other long before either of you.
From childhood. Yeah. And that's a little jazz waltz that I thought was great to start every program, and I still do. Mm-hmm. It identifies me. It prepares the audience for my assault. it gives also a kind of declarative beginning to the program. Welcome to Wednesday afternoon.
Sure, sure.
So that the kind of fraudulent things that people say when they first take to the air are not at my disposal. Oh, it's so good you're out here. I'm so happy to be here. What a cloudy day. I don't have to do any of that. Just welcome to Wednesday afternoon.
That's it.
Welcome to the evening.
And into the music. This occasion, 30 years, must force you to do some thinking back to the earlier times, Jonathan. First of all, how did you come to work at this radio station?
I've been working in Boston on WNAC, which is now WRKO for people in the Boston area, doing a program I essentially do now on another station in town. And I had heard from the grim radio grapevine that something was brewing at WNEW. The FCC, as many of you know, ruled in 1966 that if you duplicated your programming on FM, you couldn't do that more than 50% of the time any longer. And WNEW, AM, and FM were duplications. I heard someone earlier, perhaps it was you, Pete, talking about, yes, it was with Andy Fisher, talking about the newscasts that were simulcast, duplicate meaning simulcast.
Right.
Just parenthetically, one of the funny things I thought of was, at one point, I don't think you even know this, we at FM, WNEW-FM, were obliged to play music, like Muzak music, under the news. There was some FCC technicality. And a member of the AM staff, Gene Clavin, called up to request a song. Under the voice of the newsman.
Under the newsman. I love it.
In any event, attempted to ingratiate myself to people who were running the station, and it seemed that there was something about my radio presentation which was attractive to them, and I began on November 16th, 1967, Roscoe Tone, this day.
Right, that's correct. Is it fair to say that you were not a rock and roll kid?
Not only is it fair to say, I had to take a crash course, which I did by listening to Roscoe. You know, I'm a fellow who essentially says on the radio, here's Ella Fitzgerald, here's Sinatra, here's Basie, here's Fred Astaire, here's Lena Horne.
And all of a sudden, the vocabulary changed drastically.
Here is Ritchie Havens. Here is Phil Oakes. Here are the Stones. Here's Jefferson Airplane.
Did you take to it? In other words, was there a moment, an artist, or a recording where you suddenly couldn't just dismiss the music, but had to take it seriously?
Yes, Rhinoceros.
Ah.
Have you noticed that someone is using bum-bum-bum, bum-bum-ba-dum, apricot brandy to go in and out of newscasts? I don't know where I heard it, but it's I think it might be one of the sports stations that use just a little bit of the 1 minute and 41 seconds
right,
of apricot
exactly.
brandy. People who work in radio like myself and Pete are cursed with the irrelevancy of the length of most anything that's been recorded. You can name a song and we can say, oh yes, 3 minutes and 24 seconds.
Yes. 7:23, Sweet Judy Blue Eyes, that's a cup of coffee and a donut. Alice's Restaurant, I don't want to tell you.
Inagata Davida, Mayhem.
Absolute and total. How about the station itself? You know, here was this new kid in town doing this wildly experimental stuff. When did you realize that there was an audience for this and that WNEW-FM was having an impact on the community?
Pete, it's a good question. There were rating books as there are now. The governing rating book at that time was a book called The Pulse Company that in effect took the pulse of the station or the ratings. And we were limping along at a 2 for the first 4 or 5 of these books. That's about a year or so. And suddenly we got a book that was a 9. But across the board, a 9. Everyone was a 9. I was a 9. Roscoe was a 9. Even people who worked in the sales on desks were 9. Everyone was a 9. And I remember saying to someone, well, this is just aberrational. Go back to a 2, the next book. But it didn't. It went to an 11. And I had an 11. And everyone and people at their desks had 11s. And for at least 2 terms in the United States Senate, which is 12 years, we remained at an 11. And in fact, Pulse went out of business. And another company, the Arbitron people, came in and they said we had an 11. That's when I knew. That first 11.
That would certainly be a peak memory for you. 2 or 3 other peak memories of your years at NEW-FM, which spanned almost a decade.
I think my conversation with Roscoe by the elevators at WNEW. And I'll tell you why.
Why?
Roscoe and I didn't really have a lot to say to each other. I think we brought a new clarity and depth to the word silence. But I found that we were sitting next to each other in some meeting, and then we wandered out together to take the elevator. And we were standing in front of the elevator within this silence that I had mentioned. Now, I had heard that his wife was going to have a child and that the child would be born cesarean. And I was born cesarean, so I said, well, I have a link with this guy. Hey. Hey, I said, I hear that you are going to have a baby. He said, yep. I said, forging forward with this link, you know, I hear that the baby is going to be born cesarean. Yep. Roscoe, I was born Caucasian. It intensified the silence.
A classic Schwartzian moment, if you will.
You understand, Pete, I didn't say it deliberately.
I certainly
understand. I want
understand.
You to know that.
A quick question. You are one of the top 2 or 3 Sinatra-philes in this whole country of ours, no doubt about that. Do you have any insights into his current health, into the current condition of the man?
I don't have insights. I just know that he's, you know, not Arnold Schwarzenegger anymore. And that his body of work will last forever, and I played it on WNEW-FM.
Sure.
And it deserved to be played at that time and at this time.
When he goes, as all of us will, but when it happens, anybody worth their salt in the media is going to call you for a comment about it.
Pete, they already have.
What are you going to say? What have you said? What are you going to say?
I've said, and I'll continue to say, Sinatra is the greatest interpretive musician this country's ever produced. By interpretive, I mean he interpreted throughout his life the songs written by other people. And an example of a non-interpretive singer would be Bob Dylan, who leapt to the stage with his own songs, or Paul McCartney and John Lennon, or Joni Mitchell. Linda Ronstadt is an interpretive singer, mm-hmm, or mm-hmm. interpretive musician. Sinatra, in my judgment, was easily the most gifted, the most innovative, the most exhilarating interpretive musician to populate this country in this century.
Richie certainly fits on that list of interpreters as well.
He is an interpretive singer, to be sure, and a terrific one.
You left in 76. Any regrets about the timing of your departure from FM or?
Not at all. I think I was right on the money.
It was time.
Yeah, I think so.
A legend has grown up around one of the quotes you allegedly made at that time when you were leaving WNEW-FM. Does anything come to your mind?
Maybe. Nope.
I will refresh your memory and you will tell me if this is real or apocryphal. But I am told that you were quoted as saying, "I will never have to play Layla again."
Well, I see Scott's face. He's in the doorway there, and I occasionally run into him, and the first word out of his mouth is "Layla." I was using the recording of Layla generically.
Understood. But as a favor to me, on the occasion of our 30th anniversary, as we wind up this segment, would you introduce the next recording that we are about to play?
102.7 FM, WNEW-FM. This is Jonathan Schwartz, and here is Eric Clapton and Layla.
All of it. The one time he showed up at our Hard Rock broadcast,
Ian Dangerous.
As Ian Dangerous. Ian,
right.
Give us a little remembrance from the Hard Rock.
Full-length black coat, slick back hair, and just as every British rock and roller who we've loved through the years who can't pronounce the word Muni, who always
it's
called
definitely
him
Mooney.
Mooney.
Right. And I just like to say, Scott, you know, through the years, as you've supported our band through thick and thin, you know, through all the deaths and the fires and the record companies, that I just want to say that Scott Mooney has been a friend to our band, the Lovely Lads, for 30 years. God bless you, Scott.
Dangerous.
Every single one of us.
Yeah.
Do you know, Mr. Mooney, that you hired me 15 years ago to the day. Today. It was 15 years ago, 1982.
Today?
Yep.
All right.
And the reason I remember that, I'll never forget, I'm going in to be interviewed by Scott Mooney. I've everything that I may have known, I remember everything. Cat Olson, every story about NEW, and I walk in and I'm sort of shaking under the table. What's he gonna ask me? And the first thing he asks me, he leans back in the chair, he says, "Hey, Fats, what are you going as?" I said, "What?" "It's tonight. It's Halloween. What are you going as?" We talked about trick-or-treating for 45 minutes, and he said, "Welcome to the Air Staff."
So it's today, anniversary time.
He used to dress as Frankenstein, if I can tell that story. He'd hide in the bushes in front of his house in New Jersey.
This was really, I mean...
That was cruel.
The little tiny kids.
And a Frankenstein, you know, mask with that voice.
2, 3, 4, and 5 of them in a little row.
Hiding in the bushes.
And I came out from behind a big pine tree. I had shoes built up and taped. And I had the Frankenstein mask. And I had the shoulder pads. And I, with my voice, would go...
There are children in therapy for the last 30 years.
The track records were set each night, and then about 5 minutes later, I'd see the parents coming down the street.
To get a piece of it.
Yeah.
God, it's great memories. Even the Grand Funk Railroad, my first concert at Madison Square Garden was the Shining On Tour, was Grand Funk Railroad with Susie Quattro opening the show. God. Remember, anybody remember Susie Quattro?
Yeah.
Prototype for all those girl groups.
Even an Elton John label there.
Absolutely. That, and of course, how many kids in Brooklyn, growing up in Sheepshead Bay, while everybody else is listening to pop rock, and I've got WNEW on, listening to you play Emerson, Lake & Palmer's The Three Fates, and blasting the first album in a schoolyard playing basketball. That was a first.
I must have said, "Jesus, I wonder what he's smoking." What is that he's listening to?
That and pictures at an exhibition. There were every basketball game in the schoolyard in Brooklyn, the soundtrack was you playing Pictures at an Exhibition. An album that wouldn't have happened if it wasn't for this gentleman right here, Scott Mooney, who made that record.
Well, I got to cease and desist and never play it again. from the legal department, and I called them back and I said, you gotta be crazy. Everybody's going crazy over this album. Nope. There's no plans for the company to release that. 2 weeks later, it sold 1 million copies, and they didn't ever take us to court.
And I remember Greg Lake always saying to me that in hindsight, the record company said, why did you hand us this stupid live recording of Mussorgsky classical music? And him saying then 2 weeks later, oh, yes, we allowed Scott Muni to break it first because we love him so much. Yeah, they never forgot that. They're always very loyal. All the English musicians remember what you did.
Do us an intro. Let's play some of them while we're talking about it.
All right.
That's it.
Ladies and gentlemen, do a little classic British rock and roll here. A place where classic rock lives. And the purple that is deep. 102.7 WNEW-FM. Was it the 10th anniversary concert they played?
Yes,
Madison
it was.
Madison Square Garden?
Yeah.
Yep.
See, what was around then was a little bit of everything, and to try to focus the listeners' ears into all these different things is why, you know, it's the station that made